Good morning. Well, we're continuing in our series we've titled The Bless Practices, B-L-E-S-S. It's my contention that what we're unpacking in this concept is what every person really desires. It's what the world needs. And BLESS stands for begin with prayer, and then listen, and then eat, and then serve, which we'll talk about today, and then share your story. So the world needs people who are willing to engage and become a part of their life and actually and ultimately be the agents for how God draws them to Himself and into a relationship with Himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. The first week we talked about beginning with prayer, and if you didn't already, I'd love for you to identify at least a person that God has impassioned you to pray for, somebody in your sphere of influence, your sphere of life, and somebody that that you can be praying for, that God would begin to draw them, to remove the veil from their heart and open them up to the gospel, to turning from themselves and their sin, repenting and receiving Jesus. And so if you haven't done that, or if God has placed another person on your heart, on your mind, I'd ask you to, in the foyer, as you walk out of here, you'll see the BLESS bulletin board, and you can just take one of those cards and write the person's initials or name or whatever, and put it on that board. And just the action of you doing that will help you to begin praying for that person, and hopefully daily or as often as you think of them. Just the action of doing that will help you. And then every time you see that bulletin board, it will be a reminder as well. It'll be a reminder for all of us to continue to be praying for those for whom God has placed in our lives. The second letter was listen, and we asked Austin Hill to share about the power of listening, how we can give a gift to another person by truly listening to them when we do have an opportunity to have an interaction with them, a verbal interaction. So the third letter is eat, and I was given that task, eat, because a body like this doesn't just happen. In fact, I'm working on a book, Eat Yourself Thin. And the subtitle is Redefining Thin. So, I shared about the significance of sharing a meal with others. The New Testament is replete, and I love the King James here. They sat at meat, and they reclined at the table. There's something powerful that takes place when we share a meal with others. A dynamic of intimacy and of conversation, of relationship, takes place over a meal that doesn't take place in any other way. Today I want to talk about serving, and I used the video that we just saw that I believe incorporates every aspect of the BLESS practices. Those men who are part of the Angel Tree ministry, and by the way, we do that here through Celebrate Recovery every Christmas. We do 10 to 12 families who have an incarcerated parent or loved one, and we bless the children by letting them know that their parent hasn't forgot about them. The gifts are given in the name of the parent. That particular video, that man, his wife was incarcerated, and the men of the church blessed him by serving him in that way. But if you notice in that, there was actions of the reality of those men praying before they got involved. As they interacted with Richard, they were listening. There were scenes of sharing meals, and part of that story is how they were involved in each other's lives and over meals often. And then serving. They served Richard, and I hope you noticed that they said how it was really interesting that Richard began to serve them in various ways. He served the church. You see, there's a powerful thing that takes place when we serve. It's powerful for those who are receiving, but it's also very powerful for those who are actually doing the serving. And we'll talk more about that. And then lastly, share your story. There came that point in Richard's interaction with those men that became obvious that he had some struggles. And because they had a relationship with Richard, they were able to bring him to the point of not just serving him and being involved in his life, but actually being how God shared the gospel and Richard responded and received Jesus. That's ultimately the goal. I'm here again to tell you that everybody needs and wants to be blessed. They need the blessed practices. And we need to be doing that with and for each other, and we are. You're really great about that. I appreciate that. But I'd like us to take a step, and it begins with prayer, of having God use us to be the agents for how He saves other people. It'd be wonderful if a year from now we're sharing stories and testimonies of how we just interacted with people in life and practice the blessed practices, and God used that to draw people to Himself. Well, today again, we're going to talk about serving, and I want you to see that serving makes others happy, serving makes you happy, and serving ultimately makes God happy. And I'm using happy not in the terms of just that emotion, but of contentment and of joy and of broader than happy. It's just this is how my little mind put it together for an outline today. So let's use, pause it for our purposes today, the familiar story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And it's found in John chapter 13, and so let's read that together. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from the supper, laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, He tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, "Lord, do You wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to Him, "Lord," he said to Him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with Me." And Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For He knew who was to betray Him. And that was why He said, "Not every one of you are clean." When He had washed their feet and put on the outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do as I have done unto you." And then in Matthew 20 and verse 25, beginning at verse 25, Jesus called the disciples to Him and He said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." There's numerous other places where Jesus establishes the reality of who He is, and yet He came to serve and not be served. He gave an example for the disciples and to us that those of us who are in Christ have been washed and have been made clean, Though our sins were as scarlet, they have been made whiter than snow through the reality of what Jesus did on the cross in His death and then His burial and resurrection. So we are clean, but the reality is our feet interact with this world and we need an ongoing cleansing. And so that was the idea behind washing the disciples' feet. For us, it's the reality that we're to serve one another. We're to think of ourselves, we're just to put the needs of others before ourselves. We're to humble ourselves and to serve and love one another in that way. Well, this morning again, I'd like you to see that serving others makes them happy. And it makes you happy. And it especially makes God happy. First of all, it makes others happy. It's an interesting passage found in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 8. And God says to the children of Israel, through the prophet Isaiah, "Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. And then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will appear, will be your rear guard." And this thought is conveyed and continued later through Jesus. And in Matthew 5, beginning at verse 14, He says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light into all the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now the writers, Isaiah, God using him, and then God using Matthew, quoting Jesus, to give us this connection, this correlation between doing good and bringing light into the world. You see, the reality is when we serve others, we're actually bringing light. Let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and give glory to the Father. One of the ways that God shows Himself to the world is through the works of His people. There's a direct correlation between doing good, serving others, and bringing light into this dark world. One of the ways that you preach the gospel without speaking is by serving others and bringing light into the world. Now, what we're emphasizing and encouraging you in this series is that we're a wonderful church. We're known for serving our community. We're known for serving others. In fact, I told you before, I'll tell you again, there was a meeting in Steamboat among a number of agencies about how do they meet the needs of people who are struggling, and especially in Steamboat where it's getting harder and harder to live, and there's a labor workforce that is priced out of the housing market, and life can just be difficult in that way. And they were working together to talk about how do we help people who are struggling financially. And then somehow during the course of that meeting, somebody said, "Well, how do people in Craig get help?" And somebody from that area spoke up and they said, "There's only two ways to get help in Craig, and it's through Love Inc. or the Journey Church." So we are known for that. What I'd like to see us do is let God take that step from loving others by serving them and bringing light into their life to sharing our story as we have opportunity and helping people come to faith. We actually do have people in the room who our first interaction and contact with them was by serving them. And over a course of time, we blessed them. We prayed for them and with them, and we listened as we had interaction, and we shared meals together, and we continued to serve them, and then ultimately we shared our story and their story, our story became their story. But they were separated from God because of their sin. And that they needed to receive Jesus to bridge the reality of that separation. That God's perfection can become ours and outweigh our imperfection through a relationship with Jesus. I want to remind you that I don't believe the blessed practices are linear. In other words, you don't just have to work through BLES. There's opportunities where your first interaction with somebody that God wants to bring to faith is through eating or maybe listening. Or I just want you to be practicing all of these components as you have opportunity. So serving others makes them happy. We bring light into this dark world when we serve others. Secondly, it makes you happy. It makes you happy physically and emotionally and spiritually. Physically, I read a number of studies, and I referenced some last week about how the power of sharing a meal with others actually helps you. People live longer, they are healthy physically, emotionally, and the same is true with serving. So what I'm telling you, if you will do the blessed practices, you will be happier and live longer. Now, that's not the reason you should do that, but that's the reality. These studies say this. It turns out that we're hardwired to serve. Imagine that. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And a secular study is saying, it turns out human beings are hardwired to serve. Imagine that. There are biological reasons for why we feel good when we serve. Medical science has long known that volunteering contributes to better health. And there's a book, Growing Young, How Friendship, Kindness, Optimism Can Help You Live to 100. And the book purports that social engagement, kindness, and especially serving increase our longevity here on earth. Serving reduces mortality by 22 to 44%, this study purports. People who volunteer have a 29% lower risk of high blood pressure. If you're experiencing high blood pressure and you're medicated, maybe the true medication you need is to serve others. 17% lower risk of inflammation and 38% fewer nights in the hospital. Secondly, emotionally, numerous studies have concluded that research shows that helping others can be good for your mental health. It reduces stress, improves emotional well-being, and even benefits our physical health. In short, doing good does you good. So a couple of studies, a different one said this. When you serve, when that's a part of who you are and what you're doing, and here again, I want to stress that you shouldn't be serving. These are intended consequences, but the reason we serve is because we're like Jesus, ultimately. Serving gives you a sense of purpose, creates social connection, reduces stress, it increases self-esteem, and enhanced mood. For organization employers, supporting employee volunteering and civic engagement can be extremely beneficial. Companies that encourage volunteering report higher employee satisfaction, better workplace morale, and this is not only aids in mental health of the employees, but contributes to a more positive work environment. It's just amazing to me that studies prove that being like Jesus is good for you. Ultimately, serving makes you happy spiritually. Galatians 6, beginning at verse 7, says this, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For one who sows to his flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. One who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, when we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, says that there's the idea of sowing and reap. Whatever you plant, that's what you're going to produce. And it's true in terms of serving. It connects the context here of reaping and sowing to doing good to everyone, especially the household of faith. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it heartily. Do it heartily. As for the Lord, not for men." Most of you have memorized that, especially our Awana kids, but we need to go on. Why? Knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving Christ. When you serve, so do whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that it's from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward, because you're actually serving Christ when you're serving others. And then, of course, the famous passage in James. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says, "I have faith and not works"? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking daily food, and one of you says, "Go in peace and be warmed and filled," yet without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "I will show you my faith by my works." For as the body is, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you that my faith by my works. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now we stress here continually that the reality of the Christian life is a resting from, striving to gain or stay in God's favor. That's my definition of religion. I'm doing things, good things. I'm taking communion. I'm getting baptized. I'm going to church. I'm serving others to make God happy, as if that's an end in itself. And James helps us keep the cart and the horse in the right place. You see, it's because you have that faith, it's because you've been born again, that you now do good works. You don't do good works to get saved and in a right relationship with God. You do good works because you are saved and you're in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But the key reality is, if one has truly been born again, if Jesus has taken up residence in somebody's life, the reality is that will work itself out intentionally through good works. It's just keeping the good works in the right place. Lastly, serving others makes God happy. In Matthew 25, there's a story of the sheep and the goats and how God's going to separate them. And He defines the goats and He sends them away. And He defines the sheep and He says, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, enter into your rest. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous, the sheep, will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison or and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And the passage again says, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, enter into your rest." It's a beautiful story of the reality that when we serve others, we're actually serving God. As people are made in the image and likeness of God. And the calling upon our lives is to serve others, is to share the reality of our good life with them. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God." I want to encourage you to continue to be about it all the more of serving everyone, especially those of the household of faith. We are to be loving and encouraging and serving one another continually. But I want us to be mindful. I want us to be ready. I want us to take a step in terms of our relationships with those who don't yet know Christ, to find ways to serve them and to let them serve us, because there's something powerful that takes place. When you serve, you are bringing light in this dark world. You think the world's dark? Have you watched TV at all lately? This is a dark, dark place, and one of the ways that we bring the light of Jesus into this world is by serving others, especially those who don't yet know Christ. It's part of how God uses us to be the agents for their salvation. I want us to be about the blessed practices in each other's lives and especially in the lives of those who don't yet know Christ. I'm going to ask the team to come back and I'm going to pray in closing. We'll sing a song, but I'm going to ask God again to just impress upon your heart at least one person or some people that He has your sphere of life connecting to, because He's wanting you to be how He draws them to Himself. The Apostle Paul in Athens preached a message. You can find it in the book of Acts. It might be chapter 16. And Paul makes this incredible statement. He says that God determined where and when every person would live. Your waking up in the 21st century in Craig, Colorado, or wherever you live, is no accident. The Apostle Paul says that God does that for two reasons. First of all, that you might find God, even though He's not very far away. And then secondly, that others, that you might be how others find God, even though He's not far away. My friends, you are planted here purposefully for this time and for someone else. God is so great. He does incredibly intentionally good things for us as we're about His business. So ultimately, these things are to glorify God. But you know what? When we serve others, it brings light into their life. It makes them happy. When we serve others, we're fulfilled. And when we serve others, we make God happy. Let's pray. Father, thank You today again just for the freedom and privilege to join together to adore You and worship You and to hear from You, to say the name of Jesus and freedom. And we don't take that lightly or for granted. Today, God, again, I ask that You would impress upon every person, somebody, that You're wanting them to begin praying for. That this kind only comes out through prayer. And some people, everyone, ultimately in some way, only comes to faith because of the prayers of others. So God, use us to do that. Help us to remind ourselves by putting something on the board to continually be praying for others to come to faith. Thank you today, God, and just ask that you continue to walk ahead of us into all of life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and we'll be dismissed.